Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Thank you, Farad. And then for the rest of you listening, are you ready for another day above ground? That's what we've got today, and we want to use it to its biggest benefit, and that's the name of this podcast. It's for boomers, by boomers, and about boomers, and in order to do it, I need two extra boomers to help me out. My partners come to you today, first of all, from Indiana, which I believe today is having a Super Tuesday, maybe not. It's the Aristotle of comedy, Mr. Tim Slagle.
No Super Tuesday here, and for those of you who don't know, Super Tuesday's a lot like the Super Bowl, only with crummy commercials.
And the lilting laughter comes to us from high in the Rocky Mountains in Denver, Colorado, Carolyn Strauss.
Where it is Super Tuesday, and I went to pick up my bagel, and they didn't offer me extra fries or a drink. I was very disappointed.
Why is that supposed to be?
Yeah, when you supersize anything on Tuesday.
I didn't get that. I'm trying to figure out why the hell you'd want fries with a bagel.
Oh, carbs are my friend. Come on.
Well, I learned an interesting lesson yesterday. I had to go to the dentist to have some work done. And he's a very nice guy. And you know when they give you the injection of Novocaine, they kind of shake your cheek or whatever. So after he was done doing that, I said, just a question, Doc. Did you do that on purpose or do you have, like, the palsy? And he and the lab assistant could not stop laughing. They thought that was the funniest thing they ever heard. Which is bad, you know, because he recalled it as he was doing something else where he shouldn't have been shaking. I said, please be careful. I have a very low tolerance of pain. I need two aspirin after a haircut. That set him off again. So a little tip to the wise. Don't make your dentist laugh till you're done.
You could actually bring him. Do you remember the game Operation? Did you guys have that game where you plugged in the man with the little holes?
Oh, sure. And he had,
yeah, you could bring him that as a gift and say, this is for practice.
I could never get the writer's cramp, no matter how. I think the writer's cramp is actually impossible.
Yeah, yeah. That little one in the wrist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was it? Yeah, yeah, I remember that. Well, I have a really quick dentist story. This happened several years ago, and I was at the dentist, and do you remember? I don't even know if they do this anymore, with that big, thick, silly putty pink stuff that goes in the mold and they have to put it in your mouth and you have to sit there for like a minute while it dries. Do you guys remember that?
Uh-huh.
Like really thick?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So he puts it in and he says, now, you know, it might be hard to breathe. And, you know, he puts it in and I'm just sitting there. I'm totally mellow and I'm breathing away through my nose. And he takes it out and he says, wow, you're really good at that. I said, I've had plenty of practice having something in my mouth, having to breathe through my nose. I'm fine. He almost died. It was great. I now have a female dentist, so that joke doesn't work anymore, but it was great at the time.
Which brings us to our next thing, our new contest, Win a Date with Carolyn.
One of my favorite Craig Ferguson lines, he said he went to the dentist and the dentist said, you know, you're going to have to have an implant in your mouth. And he goes, Doc, I'm from LA. I've had that before.
Okay. All right. Took me a second. Huh?
Wow, it did. Dale. You've been in the Midwest for way too long, my friend.
It's just the term implant is kind of not being used anymore. You know, it's like breast enhancement or big hoo-has or something. It's just the term implant. So it took me a second.
Really? Oh, you might want to look into hair implants. It might be great.
Oh, hey. I think we're touching a little close to the fire there, sister. I tried, you know, that thing with hair implants is that you wind up and they're all like, you look like a doll. You know, you have doll hair, and it's really not the most attractive thing. You know?
Well, yeah. the problem is if it's a gel, how do you put it on without looking like you've been enjoying yourself a lot? Because if it grows hair anywhere and you put it on with your palms.
Wow, that
Novocaine, he must have stuck that needle directly in your sense of humor today, Dale. That's the second one you missed.
I feel so numb. And speaking of dumb and numb, that brings us to our first story. This is being recorded on Super Tuesday, so we don't have any idea what the results are going to be. Although we do know that the group of people is much much smaller than they were before.
Dale, I think when this actually goes up on Thursday, for those of you listening, if you're listening on Thursday, they're not going to know by then either. Just all the mailing ballots and stuff. There's no way they're even going to know when we put this up on our website.
Well, actually,
this isn't Iowa.
Actually, yeah, differing from Iowa and New Hampshire, one of the candidates is smaller than they were before as well.
So anyhow, little Mike, Michael Bloomberg, the guy who wants to buy his way into the presidency, has said, and this is an actual story, he is not afraid of the coronavirus, and to show that, he will publicly eat in a Chinese restaurant.
but he won't drink
your vote.
Yeah.
But he won't drink a Corona beer with his Chinese food, that's for sure.
I was driving down the street and I drove by a Toyota dealership. I started sweating. I'm thinking, oh God, I hope it's not the Corolla virus.
you know what they call that day when Bloomberg goes to eat at a Chinese restaurant?
What?
Christmas.
Oh, hold on a second.
Perfect.
So God bless him for doing that, you know, what we have to choose from anymore.
Oh.
Here we go. Here's a lady. This is, I believe, a millennial woman. So this would be a get off our lawn sequence. She's a vegan, and she is in London, and I don't know if they even know what vegan means over in England, but she was
anything below the waist.
So she's over there at a KFC, you know, and she ordered a vegan burger, which I didn't even know was on the menu there. And then she got it and she bit into it and said, hey, this is chicken. And now she's very traumatized because she's bitten into a chicken, or what they claim that sandwich is made out of. And she took three bites. You don't know it's not vegan burger in three bites. Oh, geez, I'm almost done with this chicken.
Somebody needs to explain to the kids these days what that C used to stand for.
Right. I was thinking that, you know, when you're a vegan, you think that everybody's a vegan. So maybe KFC stands for knives, fruits, and carbs.
And there you go. Very nice. Nicely done.
But I think because we're boomers, we all know what KFC stands for. I think they've been KFC so long, maybe a lot of people don't know what KFC stands for.
They changed it not because of the C or the K. They changed it because of the F. They did not want to advertise. This is back, I think it was the late 80s, early 90s, that everything in there is fried.
Right.
Yeah. Well, for a while, they changed the name to Kentucky Effin' Chicken, and that didn't really work out either.
Yes. That was the most appropriate name, though.
They said that after she complained, the manager came out and apologized and offered her a vegan burger. And actually, which they actually do have at KFC, you can get a vegan. Offered her a vegan burger, and she said, "Well, it just didn't taste right." Well, duh. Now you know what chicken tastes like, honey. You've been
get
all your friends have been
with bacon.
All your friends have been telling you that other stuff tastes just like chicken.
It's like people who eat that non-dairy, non-fat ice cream. I have friends who do that, and they eat it, and they're like, "Ooh, it's just as good as ice cream," and I taste it, and I'm like, no, it's horrifying.
Low-fat ice cream is not even as good as ice cream.
Right. Yeah.
But speaking of weird places to go out and eat, over in Japan, our friends across the sea over there, they have bars that apparently children are allowed into in these bars, and they want to give them something to do. So at a bar in Japan, they brought in monkeys to not only serve the beer but to play air hockey with the kids. Apparently all these other servers are out of work because they're hiring monkeys. We do that in Congress, but still.
All the monkeys I've seen have a different variation on air hockey. They kind of air the hockey.
Well, they're not bad at it, but they cheat, you know. Right when you're getting a couple of good shots, they'll fling poo at you. And you're just not ready for that, you know.
I read the story wrong. I thought the bar had hired the children to entertain the monkeys. That made much more sense to me.
Yes, it's not child labor; it's simian labor that we're looking at here.
They explain
the difference.
They actually trained the monkeys to serve beer, which I've always thought, because you know, for a while there they were training helper monkeys to help people that are paraplegic, to help them around the house to get stuff around the fridge and turn the lights on and off. And I always thought that there were probably a lot of monkeys that just didn't quite pass the training. And I always wanted to know how you could get one of those, because you get you got a monkey that can get beer out of the fridge. Yeah.
Oh my God! Don't you have a wife for that? Don't you?
Oh, little Miss Feminism here. I'm... Oh yeah, hashtag me too. Wow. I'm looking at this monkey story, and God, right below it is lab monkeys infected with coronavirus to find a cure. And I'm thinking that, you know, that's really bad. Those are the monkeys that completely flunked out. Oh, come with me. I'm gonna give you something special.
How did you expect the monkeys to find a cure?
They're looking for a vaccine. And, they, you know, if they give the monkey it and he gets better, apparently... then it's good enough for us.
What do you think, Carolyn? They're sending monkeys to Johns Hopkins.
Yes! I'm thinking the monkeys are looking in little you know,
lab coats.
I'm thinking monkeys looking for a cure. You know, they say if you put a million monkeys, they can write a novel. You know, if you give them a typewriter, maybe it's the same thing.
Well Letterman, I don't think it was Letterman. No, Letterman actually had a different variation. But I think somebody said that, I don't know where I saw it, that the idea that a million monkeys with typewriters will recreate the works of Shakespeare has been disproved by the internet.
Oh, well, then it has to be true.
Wow. Where did they get a million monkeys? Wow. I'm glad that's true. Holy Christmas. Anyhow, yeah, if you flunk the monkey test, then you're going to be
I think you both missed the joke there.
No, I got it. Okay. I got it. A million people on the internet and nobody's written anything
worth
reading.
Yeah, we've got a billion monkeys banging away on keyboards and not even close.
I think that the numbness is going right into my brain.
Seriously, oh, Dale.
Wow. Missed that. So, folks, this is what getting old is like. It's not all roses and chips, you know. It's forgetting stuff. and not getting the joke.
Roses and chips? What is roses and chips? What is, are you playing Mad Libs or something on the side while we're doing
yeah,
this?
Yeah, like you should, like you should talk, Miss Bagels and Fries.
Hey, that was a joke.
Those roses and chips, yeah. That's But if you're going to buy either roses and chips or bagels and fries, you need money. And as baby boomers, many of us are on fixed income, so we can always use a little bit more money. Well, there's a place in a scrap car recycling website over in England that is offering the job. They're accepting applications. You will get $600 if you watch all 24 James Bond films in 24 days and review them all.
I'll give one of our viewers $60 if they can name all 24 in order with who played James Bond without looking at the internet.
Wow.
I don't think we're allowed to do that, so I'm taking it back. But that's the contest. If you guys can do that, give us a list of all 24 in order with the James Bond, the actor who played it, and we'll do something for you. We'll send you something special.
Okay, they're all going to forget about George Lazenby, though.
No, they're just going to forget about without the internet.
How are
you going to prove they didn't look it up?
I know. Well, this is a podcast for boomers. We understand the honor system as boomers.
Oh, that's right. None of our listeners can use the internet.
They're looking through their VHS tape collection right now to get all of it.
Here's a better contest. Send a video of you singing all the James Bond themes.
Ooh, that's good.
Oh, speaking of that, and we weren't, but apparently this last James Bond theme by the English girl was Eilish or whatever her name is.
Billie Eilish.
Yeah. Anyhow, some guy reported in, I think, Jazz Magazine or something, that he really liked that final chord that's in the song of this most recent film. And our friend, Roy Philippe, our music friend, he wrote back to him and said, and I forget the exact answer, but it's like an F minor with a third overhand and something else. He said, by the way, it's the final chord from the James Bond theme.
Ooh, there
so
you
he
go.
Knew more than the people at Jazz Magazine, you know, which was very...
Well, actually,
he sent
I think...
me the article.
I think the reason...
He sent me the article. He said, once again, recognition and no money.
I think the... I think the reason why he liked it was because it was the final chord of that song.
Oh.
I have not heard the new song yet, but it's, you know, who knows.
Well, they weren't.
When's the movie coming out? Is it coming out soon?
It is coming out soon. That's what, you know, this is like a promo for it too, but yeah, it's a scrap car recycling website. And they want to see if people would watch all of these Bond films.
Of course they would. But wait a minute, I thought this was the 20th film. What do you mean 24 films? I thought this was the 20th. I thought this was the 20th anniversary James Bond film. That's interesting.
Huh.
If anybody knows,
well,
send
I,
us
I
a
think
note.
I don't think they count the first. I don't think they count the first Casino Royale. I think that one's probably not counted.
Well, that's the one with Woody Allen.
Woody Allen, Peter Sellers, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one, yeah. They probably don't count that one. And also, I think there were at least a couple black and white versions before the versions in the 60s started coming out. I think in the 50s there were a couple black and white versions of James Bond films. So they're probably counting those as well. So this is probably the 20th by, I don't know who owns the franchise now, MGM? Am I right there?
No, this franchise is still owned by the Cubby Broccoli family. Broccoli's own the whole thing.
Yeah, but what studio?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's MGM.
I don't know.
Hmm.
So this might be the 20th MGM release, and the other ones.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's coming. My favorite was always Thunderball. That was like the third one or fourth one. I loved that movie, but Oh, and none of them had nudity, which is still to this day disappointing.
Outside the titles.
Well, and yeah.
And they were all in shadow and in silhouette.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. No. Was Halle Berry not naked in the one that she was in?
I don't recall any Bond film with nudity. I think.
Wow.
That's
cool.
I'd have that picture on my
wall. There's nudity, but there's always covered nudity, like in Goldfinger, right. The woman that was killed on the bed was stark naked, but you couldn't tell because I think she had her arms crossed.
Right.
Anyhow,
it was all gold. And
what we have, if we're done with James Bond, we have two health topics for boomers today, and they're I think they're both very important. First one concerns a woman in Pittsburgh who happens to be a baby boomer, and she has something called urinary autobrewery syndrome. The woman doesn't.
That sounds made up.
They also call it bladder fermentation syndrome. And what happens? This lady doesn't drink, but she pees alcohol.
Wow.
And they don't know what the deal is. But yeah, her urine is alcohol, but she doesn't drink. She makes her own.
Do you know what a celebrity she's going to be in Germany?
Have her own booth in October.
Those are two of my favorite things.
I was always told for that syndrome you drink cranberry juice. So what is it, a vodka cranberry that comes out?
He's peeing Cosmos. Yeah. It's like the old joke of the Russian guy who all of a sudden started peeing vodka. And he told this woman he met, he says, "I pee vodka." And he did a little into a glass, gave it to her. She goes, "That's wonderful." And the next night at the bar, he met her. And again, he says, "I pee vodka." And she put a little in a glass. She drank it. The third night they met, she goes, "Could I have another vodka?" He says, "No, tonight you drink from the bottle."
That's more of an Irish cream, isn't it?
Oh, my God, Dale, you've been telling that joke 20 years, and now you got a tag. Yeah, so she turns to the Irish guy next to her and says, "I'd rather have a Bailey's."
And no offense to any Irish or drunken people or people that drink pee. No offense to any of them.
Or to our president, who happens to enjoy it as well. So it's all good.
Gandhi drank pee, and look where it got him. Murdered. But, you know, other than that. And here's our big tip that we have to pass on to baby boomers and to everybody. But baby boomers, we're prone to developing hemorrhoids. For some reason, when you get to be older, you know, you could come up with hemorrhoids, and they can be painful. You know, they're treated with topical ointments made out of guava. But no,
sorry, I had an image of a pineapple for a minute. Just keep going.
You're not far off. You're not far off. They're saying doctors are getting concerned because people now have a home remedy based on different websites of sticking a potato up their butt. So, I don't know if it's an entire potato. I don't know if it's been peeled or
it's actually, I believe it's frozen.
Ah, okay.
I think that's the idea, is that it's kind of like a cold compress, sort of.
So you don't have to have fresh potato. You can get frozen fries and just
right up the bagel.
Fry, stick the fry. Right?
I'm right there, but you guys beat me to it.
Stick the fry in the hole in the bagel, and then it's... Oh dear! So yeah, please don't put any spuds in your bum, because it's not going to help.
Unless he buys you dinner first.
That's right. Yeah, that's, and that would be Yukon Gold or Mackenzie.
There we go.
And you can tell everybody, hey, Idaho.
Oh, Dale, that needs a little bell. You need to ring the little bell. That was funny. Thank you.
And you will have eyes in the back of your body. Okay.
Wow.
Well, folks, we have mercifully come to the end of this program. And we certainly hope that you've enjoyed it. We've had a great time. We hope you've had a great time, too. I got to ask you to do a couple of favors, though. First of all, I want you to contact at least one, preferably two, of your friends and tell them about this podcast. And tell them how they can get it, even if you have to teach them. Because we want more and more baby boomers to follow us. And we'd also would like you to visit our website, anotherdayaboveground.com. And from there, you can download the podcast. You can learn all about the three of us. You can see other amusing features on there. So please do that. Everybody agree?
Agree.
Good. Thank you very much. Okay. So that being said, Tim, any final words?
Yeah, check out my other podcast, Rule of Three, with Bent Washburn and Tim Slagle. It's three segments, two comedians, 10 minutes each. The perfect podcast for your modern lifestyle.
There you go. And that's also available the same place that you get Another Day Above Ground.
All the same places.
Or iTunes, all the same place. Carolyn, how about you?
Well, so I don't know if anybody knows, but I'm not this funny all the time, only when I'm with my partners here. But I am a keynote speaker, and I actually have a new program called Communication Skills for Wicked Smart People. So if you're a wicked smart people and are having problem getting your idea funded or getting an investment, or you want people to buy into your idea, I can help you present that. Right. So go to my website, carolynstrauss.com.
Here's another question. Why would a wicked smart person still be listening to this show?
See, well, you should said to pass it on to our friends,
okay.
Right?
You should have put that up front, I think.
Who are wicked smart people. I'm assuming that everybody knows somebody who's wicked smart.
So you help people get their ideas done, and so you're like Shark Tank without the money.
That's exactly who I am. Or Lord without the, you know, hair and makeup person. Yes, that is me.
And I'd like to invite you all to visit DaleIrvin.com, where you can get my weekly video cast, which is called Friday Funnies, and you can get that. You can get this podcast on there, and you can read my blog. And one more thing, if you are a baby boomer and you'd like to be a guest on this show, if you've led an interesting life, you've got an interesting job, you've been to an interesting place, you're a specialist in anything, or you just have a good sense of humor and you like to talk, let us know. Visit anotherdayaboveground.com. Leave us a message in the message box and say, hey, I'd like to be a guest on your show. That's as easy as it is. Other than that, my friends, that's it for another week. Thanks for joining us, and please come back.
And that's it for Another Day Above Ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.